Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is going on? Welcome, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix here on rotogrinders.com. Always thank you or appreciative of the listen, download of the show. You got a lot of options. Podcasting, radio, for us to be a part of your day means a lot to us as always. Fine show brought to you by FanDuel.com. Thank you to FanDuel, putting their name on this show that we bring to you each and every day. And obviously some big news hit on Wednesday at FanDuel, their new partnership with the NBA, and a really unique partnership to say the very least. So I'll give some quick thoughts about that. But more importantly, we will be bringing on the CEO of FanDuel, Nigel Eccles, to the podcast today to talk about that and a lot of different aspects regarding their site. So it's not exclusively on this deal. And I always love bringing Nigel onto the show because I know he's very transparent and open about anything you ask him. You don't have to worry about him dodging questions, etc. So we kind of laid everything out regarding this deal, different aspects, whether it's, you know, Kondia, Team Kondia for NBA, to future improvements, to the scaling we've seen in the NFL. So a lot of different topics hit up on this conversation with him. Now, that's about a 25-minute interview, so we're going to kind of step back from the game analysis portion of the podcast today. If you're looking for college football, there should be a podcast as well right before this in our stream on iTunes and Stitcher or on the podcast page on Roto Grinders. It's our Grinders live show from last night, me and Head Chopper. So you get an hour-long conversation about daily fantasy college football there. And then this afternoon, 2 hours of Grinders live, 4:30, 5:30. We got NBA, NHL at 3:30 with Boggs and Doug. So those guys will be talking NHL daily fantasy. So those are the avenues you're going to need to hit up over there. Of course, our contents, there's just more stuff than you could probably read in a single day. But hopefully you check it all out and it'll help you build some winning teams here today. But you know I love the business side of daily fantasy. I've seen it all. I've been doing this show before there was a DraftKings, who's now number two. When there was a site, you know, like Fantasy Sports Live and Daily Joust, which have been extinct for several years now. So I've kind of seen a lot of this, you know, grow from nothing to now to a point where the NBA is not only kind of a partner in daily fantasy from a sponsorship angle or, you know, have an exclusivity for a daily fantasy site, but now they own a piece of FanDuel. And for me, this is what it makes it such a unique deal. I wasn't surprised, I don't think anybody was, that the NBA came to an agreement with a one-day fantasy site, whether it's FanDuel or DraftKings. I mean, it made sense. Same way it made sense for the NHL to do the deal with DraftKings. But the surprise of it was that they structured it in the sense of, no, it's not just you paying me $10 million a year or whatever that number is to, you know, kind of be the one-day fantasy partner of the NBA. It's, we want a piece of the pie. We want to grow with this business. And FanDuel gave them what appears to be a pretty substantial amount of equity in the business. So much to the point where you have somebody on the NBA, a part of the board of directors, and the value of that alone is enormous. And it's always interesting to kind of see whether or not people even want to kind of water down their interest in a company even more. I mean, they've gone through, what, Series D, I believe, this last go-around. And, you know, to bring the NBA aboard means that the shareholders basically had to sit back and, you know, look and see what advantages do we get out of this partnership? Is this going to make us more profitable down the line and worth more money? Because let's face it, I mean, right now the real estate on FanDuel is worth a lot of money. And I talked to Nigel about that in the interview about if there was a struggle to even decide to go this route, but it seemed to be like there wasn't so much. But this is really groundbreaking that a league would not only, you know, obviously sponsor it, but now be part ownership of a site. There was some bogus articles written about conflict of interest and this and that, or legal hurdles. It's a bunch of garbage, most of the stuff that was written in that. Really disappointing to see it. I'm not even going to mention the name because they don't deserve the press. I thought the points he made up were laughable. But there's no question that a league like the NBA would do tremendous diligence in vetting FanDuel, the industry, and making sure it's something that they not only want to put their name on, but be in business with. And I think that this is really maybe a landmark moment for the industry to see a league, you know, now be an owner of the biggest daily fantasy site out there in the market. Now, the question needs to be asked, does the NFL follow suit? And if they do, do they run a similar deal to this where it's not necessarily about just paying them money, it's about them garnering investment in a company and obviously making that money in a few years, whether it's a sale to, you know, a larger company, whether it's an IPO. I think that's ultimately what we're going to see. In terms of, you know, the way that these sites end up, I don't say getting out of it, but, capitalizing on the investment. And I think that that is the next big, you know, fight here between the big two. I mean, you've got the NBA now with FanDuel. You've got the NHL and MLB kind of aligned with DraftKings. And who is going to get that big prize, that big number one name when it comes to fantasy sports, the NFL? And does the NFL need it? Now, the NFL doesn't need daily fantasy. I mean, the NFL is huge. It does it enhance the NFL's game that much? Probably not, because regular fantasy already does that. And as I told you before, I'm as bullish on daily as anybody. I just don't see daily eclipsing season long for football anytime soon, because the casual players are just tremendous. The people who play it for fun, for bragging rights, for friends. I mean, the camaraderie that you get in season-long NFL is way different than I think you see in some of the other leagues. So I don't necessarily think, and if it does pass, it's going to be a while. I don't think the NFL needs daily fantasy. Like I've said before, I think the NHL and the NBA absolutely did. So I don't know if it's a lock for them to jump in, but they're savvy business people there at the NFL. They make a lot of money. In fact, like one of the most profitable things you can do is own an NFL team. It's just a license to print money. You do not lose money. You look at these television deals, you look at these licensing deals, it's just collecting checks every single day. Nobody's losing money as an NFL owner. So they're very savvy when it comes to the business aspect of running their league. And they already missed the boat on season long. And I say that because, you know, for the longest time, I think I was on with the diehards. Bob Harris, who's been doing the fantasy football for a long time, he even said it, like, early on, I'd bring to the NBA or talk to the NFL about fantasy, and they just were totally dismissive of it, not interested. And then I think it was about maybe like 4 years ago or so, they really started to make a push on their own, saying play on NFL.com, and basically tried to get a piece of the pie. It was too late by that time. Everybody had already kind of started on their leagues on ESPN or Yahoo or CBS or one of those major sites, and they weren't really interested in making that. And on top of that, you know, the NFL's product probably wasn't nearly as good as those other ones. So this could be a situation where the NFL looks at it and says, we're not quite on the ground floor. The elevator, it's still we're maybe on like the third floor here. So if we can get in now, you know, when it gets to the top, if we can be a part of something, we can make a bunch of money that way. That's exactly kind of the way I think the NBA looked at it. But the NFL, like I say, you look at the people who play daily fantasy football, NFL to NBA or MLB, I mean, you can put all those other sports together, multiply it by three, and then you get the NFL. That's probably not an exaggeration. That's how big it is compared to everybody else. You look at an NFL Sunday and the lobby on a FanDuel or a DraftKings or any site, it can even be a smaller site, it's just huge. So they know the value of what they're doing. So there's no question that these conversations are being had. I've spoke to Nigel about it in this interview, and his response was kind of guarded. And I'm not surprised by that, because honestly, you know, what is he going to tell me? Oh, yeah, oh, we're going to have a deal done in 6 months, or yeah, we've spoken, and they weren't interested. I mean, no, he basically said that he does expect something to happen at some point in time. So definitely, well, that's another subject we touch up on in this interview. But this is an amazing time for the daily fantasy industry, and just be really happy that this is taking place. There are zero negatives to having these leagues align themselves with us. I think it helps us, you know, overcome any sort of legal hurdles, which I don't think there are very many. And if anything, I think it's really more reason to see, you know, maybe a few of the five states out there that that don't allow daily fantasy to look at it and say, okay, well, you know, they've got the full endorsement of these leagues. There's no reason for us not to allow it. Now, I know there's a ton of politics that go into those decisions, so it's not as easy as just, you know, saying, oh, the NFL's, the NBA says it's okay, let's do it. But it certainly doesn't hurt. So I think that's obviously part of another positive, I guess you could say, of kind of these agreements we've seen with the league. So, also this morning, I think it came out FanDuel is going to have a deal with the Redskins, which is not surprising. I mean, these partnership deals with leagues are different than the individual deals with the teams. So you're still going to see a lot of different guys out there. Even the NBA, I mean, DraftKings, there's nothing to say DraftKings can't do a deal with the Boston Celtics. They absolutely can. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that whatsoever, and expect to see more and more of this. So that's kind of where we're sitting now. It's just kind of every single day that goes by, new things happen, and it's really exciting to kind of see and wonder what it's going to look like in another 12 months or another 24 months. Because if you look back at the industry 2 years ago, hell, you could look back 12 months, but let's go back 2 years, and you just wonder, like, wow, these people don't even exist. I mean, DraftKings was barely even around 2 years ago. I think they started like two football seasons ago. We're just kind of getting the ball rolling. I know Jason was out there at the Grinders party, and now you look at their standing. I mean, everything really has consolidated here in the industry, and it's just got so much momentum at this point in time. So exciting to see how it ends, I guess. Or not ends, but how it grows, because the growth is just, even in the last 6 months, just been meteoric. Okay, enough of my yapping. Let's get to the man, the guy we call the godfather of daily fantasy. He has been around the industry pretty much from the beginning. FanDuel, there's been a lot of sites come and go. FanDuel was one that obviously had the financial backing, the business plan to make it work, and look at where they are today. One of the most prominent, if not the most prominent, daily fantasy site in the space today. And let's talk to Nigel Eccles, coming off their big announcement with the NBA yesterday here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Okay, really excited for our next guest. Of course, the big news on Wednesday was the deal with FanDuel and the NBA coming together, new business partners. And you know what? Who better to kind of bring in to talk about it than the always accessible, which we love, and very forthright, and honestly, just one of the great people to have led daily fantasy sports from the beginning, CEO of FanDuel.com, Nigel Eccles, here on the podcast. Nigel, always great to have you. And let's first start it out with a congrats on this deal with the NBA. But how does something like this happen? You know, what's the process of this? Did you reach out to them? Did they pursue you? Kind of take us through the whole deal in a nutshell.
Sure. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having us on the show again. So how did it happen? You know, these deals, initially very slowly, and then much more intensely recently, would be how I would describe it. I think we sort of started knocking on their door maybe 2 years ago. But really, in the early days, I don't really think there was much interest. And then I think it was only really by the end of the summer that they started to think, hey, this is a really interesting category, and maybe we should be doing something. I think every time we spoke to them, we kept sharing them, you know, the engagement numbers, the demographics, And then somewhere along the line, I must have sort of percolated to the right person. And then I'd say, really by about September, they really started to get interested.
Now, I know you forged these agreements with some of the teams before mm-hmm. you ended up doing this kind of exclusive deal with the league.
Yes.
Was that part of, you know, the feeling out process by them, or was that basically something you guys planned to do regardless of whether or not you were able to, you know, kind of work that exclusive mm-hmm. partnership with the league?
Yeah, like those were standalone in their own right. Those are things we wanted to do. I think, yeah, like we certainly felt that getting in with the team would be a really good way to familiarize the league with us as a company in the category. And that was very successful. We've been talking to the Magic since really last season, maybe over a year. And they were quite explicit. They've got a good reputation of bringing new advertisers into the league. And so that definitely was part of it. But if we just ended up with those team deals, you know, those team deals would have stood in their own right.
What was it about FanDuel that interests them so much? Because this is a huge leap of faith for them, and we'll get into, you know, the nature of the deal, which is very different than anything we've seen here in a moment. But what was it about Daily Fantasy and FanDuel mm-hmm. that really kind of struck their fancy and said, we need to be a part of it?
I think one of the biggest things that really hit them was, if you look at what fantasy football has done for the NFL, I think that the NBA has looked at that and said, you know what, we really missed out on that. And there's a couple of reasons why our sport just isn't as good for season long. But here's our opportunity to have our fantasy football moment. And so I think that was a really big one for them. And I think also the demographics was really exciting for them. They said, okay, so, hey, we could use this daily fantasy basketball to really drive growth. And we also could continue to engage the younger demographic that they're looking at.
Now, this deal is different. Mm-hmm. Not only are, you know, you guys, you know, promoted via, you know, the NBA, but they are now an investor in the company. Now, how did this idea for them to become a strategic investor work? Was this your mm-hmm. idea? Was it theirs? Because mm-hmm. honestly, I think the biggest shock of this whole thing was not necessarily that it took place, but now that they've got a seat on the board at FanDuel and, you know, own a piece of, you know, the biggest daily fantasy site out there. Yeah. So how did that come about?
So that actually came from them. I wish I was as clever to pitch it to them. But, you know, when they kind of came to us and said, this is what they'd like to do, we were like, absolutely. You know, the deal suddenly got a lot more interesting to us. They came to us. I think what was clear for them early on was not that this was a marketing, you know, something they were excited from a marketing standpoint. It was something they were excited about from a partnership and growing sports standpoint. They see that this is a huge growing category, and they're like, they're going to help us grow, and they really wanted to share in that upside. And they also wanted to be a real partner. And we, you know, lots of partners talk about that, but this is something from the very start that we've sort of talked about. And they said, hey, let's share the risk, let's share the upside. And so I was very impressed. They brought that up early, and then they've sort of, you know, they've pushed to, you know, align their interests with ours.
Well, was there at any point, because honestly, you know, anytime you talk about bringing on investors, you've got previous investors, you've got to mm-hmm. sell on the idea. Now, was there any sort of reservations about bringing somebody else to the table? Because let's face it, I mean, the trajectory of the company right now and the valuation is going mm-hmm. straight up, and it's an extremely valuable, you know, piece of, I guess you could say, real estate right now, being an investor yeah. in FanDuel. Was there any reservations, and how did those conversations go mm-hmm. with the other main stockholders in the company?
Yeah, certainly. And at any point where we look to bring on a new investor on board, there is a lot of discussion about not just the terms, which are obviously very important, but who is that investor? What's their motivation? What's their interest? Because they really could shape the company. You know, even if you get the right valuation, the right terms, if you suddenly get an investor, so say our investors, just hypothetical, say your investors are looking for a 10x return, and you bring on a new investor who's looking for a 2x, you know, things are going to get quite difficult whenever, you know, things are looking good, and then your new investor is saying, we need to sell this company. Now, I'm not saying this is a scenario, and in the case we're looking at, it's hypothetical. But with the MBA, there's the added kind of question mark. It's like, well, you know, they're both an investor and a marketing partner. So, you know, what happens if this deal doesn't really work out and we have them on the board and it gets quite awkward? So, yes, there's a lot of discussion there. And really, you know, and during the whole process, you know, a lot of our board members, you know, had, you know, discussions directly with the MBA to kind of feel them out about, you know, what their motivations and, you know, are they going to be a true partner and they're going to live through with, you know, their commitment. So, yes, that's kind of was a process we had to go through.
Now, how big of a component of this deal was selling the NBA on Daily Fantasy being a game of skill? I've already seen certain tweets by reporters and so forth saying that they did a lot of diligence on this. So how did they go about, you know, vetting the industry in FanDuel and saying, yes, okay, this is okay for us to get behind?
Yeah. So you can imagine, like the way, you know, this deal is obviously a significant deal, but the way the NBA looks at any of these deals, it's not about what they're putting into this deal. It's their, you know, multi-billion-dollar franchise. You know, that's what they're investing in every one of these deals. And you know, their downside is not the money they put into the deal. It's their franchise. And so they are much more conservative than any financial investor who's saying, you know, if a financial investor were to put 10 or 20 million to us, they'd say, well, my downside risk is 10 or 20 million. The NBA is saying our downside risk is our entire franchise. And so that puts the bar much higher. Because of that, yes, they did a lot of due diligence. We did, you know, a full 50 or 45 states that we operate in, you know, looking at every state by state. You know, are we legal to operate in those states? Are we compliant with federal law? How do we deal with, you know, players that might be coming in from out of area? How would you deal with players that are coming from the states that we can't operate in? And so that was really part of the process. Like, fortunately, we'd just gone through a Series D investment where our new investors were asking for a lot of the same questions. But that was definitely very much part of the diligence process.
Did you give them a lot of data to back up and I guess, prove the skill game argument, which is really the crux of Daily Fantasy?
Yes, so that, you know, that's definitely a key part of it. We definitely shared our internal analysis. They also did a lot of their own due diligence because, you know, as anybody who sort of invests in companies, you know, you want to sort of verify things with third parties. So both from us and from third parties.
We're joined by Nigel Eccles, CEO of FanDuel. Of course, their big announcement a couple days ago, coming into a partnership agreement with the NBA. Now, what exactly are we going to see here in this deal? Like, what are the marketing plans moving forward? How are they going to promote FanDuel? On what platforms? I've heard some stuff about free games. So what exactly is going to kind of take place in this?
So we are the, you know, official Daily Fantasy partner or One Day Fantasy partner of the NBA. We also host the official NBA One Day Fantasy sports game, and that is going to be a free entry game that they will promote to their fan base, both on NBA.com and across broadcast assets, and we'll also promote to our user base. That's going to be a free entry game, which is going to have, you know, very significant prizes. So we still haven't announced the prizes, but you know, they're going to be experiential. They're going to be things that you can't buy, along with sort of smaller prizes. And so they're really things that, you know, are going to be excited about you entering into that game. Part of the strategy here is really, you know, we're getting hundreds of thousands of people coming in to play football. They may be basketball fans, but they've never played fantasy basketball before. So that's really what we're looking at, is how do we cross-sell those players over to become fantasy basketball players?
I want to kind of look at a broader scale here too, you know, because we'll get to football in a moment. But, you know, this is, you know, unprecedented to kind of see the leagues now embrace Daily Fantasy. DraftKings, of course, just a day prior to yours announcement, made one with the NHL, now with you with the NBA. But ultimately, my question to you is, do you see the NFL aligning with any daily fantasy operators maybe before next season and following the path of some of these other sports?
You know, like three leagues, you know, if you look at what, a year and a half ago, there was none. And within 18 months, three leagues have all aligned. I think it's very possible. Obviously, we have discussions with them. I think they are very close to the other leagues, and they are certainly looking at it. I think we'll see, to be honest.
Okay, let's move on to some football here. I mean, you guys have increased your quarterly projections, which is kind of surprising. You know, everybody usually is kind of underestimates, maybe to a point. You know, mm-hmm. You want to make the investors happy when you exceed it, but you guys went so far low that you had to change your projections. Yeah. How much has this football season exceeded your expectations?
This football season has really blown away our projections. We underestimated demand by a very significant factor. Our growth year on year is now running about 5x on last year on revenue and user base. So it's whereas last year we were only growing 3x. It's very rare you see a company at this scale to actually accelerate rather than decelerate. So we're growing much faster than we expected.
I've noticed the Sunday Million has topped off at 3 million so far this year, went back to 2.5 this week.
Yeah.
Do you think that, we've kind of seen the max on that tournament? And on top of that, what would you project maybe that the largest weekly tournament to be on FanDuel in, say, maybe like 3 years' time?
So are we at the high water mark? We don't know. Like we look at it week to week. We look at how demand grew this time last year. The tournament didn't fill last weekend, so we decided to cut it back a bit. And so it's hard to really say. I think if things can continue to grow later in the season, we might push it back up a bit. It's hard to see it going beyond 3 million, but certainly I could see it going to 3 million again, potentially.
And how big can it get in a few years' time, do you think?
Very hard to say. You know, if I were to forecast this year, I'd have been under. I don't think we would ever have said 3 million. I think we peaked last year at 500,000, if even that was a 400,000. So, the other thing I would say is that I still have an open question about is bigger always better here? Does it come a point where, 5, 10, 15, 20 million is at a point people are like, well, I'd rather really have, four or five smaller tournaments. I guess we find that 3 million is better than 2 million. So maybe 15 million is better than 10. I don't really know, but, all indications that players seem to like, say bigger is better. And so we'll probably just keep going bigger.
All right. I want to go back a little bit earlier this season. Week two, obviously you guys had some issues on the site when mm-hmm. That glitch took place. We never really kind of talked about it, but what mm-hmm. was the scene like around FanDuel HQ when that was going on? And ultimately, who kind of made the final call on how you guys decided to handle that situation?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, there was a lot of stress. The fundamental reason for the issue was the unprecedented growth. Even week two and week one, week two was a huge step up on week one. Week one is usually the week we worry about because we don't really have a data point. And week one went well. But then week two, I think we grew something like 40% again. And then also saw an additional spike in that last two-hour window where you can imagine our biggest spike is. So that was the driver, incredibly stressful from an engineering perspective and customer service perspective. In terms of decision, I basically worked with our head of product and head of customer service on it, and we had some precedents from before, and really we really just followed that precedent.
Does your heart skip a beat every Sunday around noon, wondering like, oh my God, are we going to go through this again? Or Are you guys really think you got all the bugs worked out? Because I know it kind of caught you by surprise that day, but I have to imagine that, you know, every week you got to be sitting there like holding your breath a little bit.
I would say, you know, I'd certainly say there's no complacency. I would say in week three, there was a huge amount of nervousness. And we got through week three okay. And then week four, you know, to give you an idea, we've launched about 100 different initiatives to ramp up scale. And we've ran testing on the platform to significantly at least 2, 3, 4x where we're at today, and we're comfortable with that. And so, you know, there's a lot of confidence now that we've ironed all those issues out, but you know, there's still, you know, everybody knows that Sunday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. is the critical time, and we have, you know, a large team that is on at their computer watching how things are going, checking traffic, checking systems. Like we've got we're running peaking at about 400 different servers. It's interesting. People say add another server, and I'm like, well, you know, we're running 40 different types of server. So it's like, okay, add another server. Well, which one? So it's an incredibly complex system. I'd say, you know, after, so we're now, you know, 9 weeks on, you know, every week we've managed to things make better and better. And so there's a lot of confidence now, but there certainly is no complacency.
Now, one little issue that still is kind of creeping up, I talked about it on the show, mm-hmm. I think this past week, is the payouts. You know, most sports, they're immediate as soon as you finalize the games. For NFL, we still, you know, a lot of people aren't getting paid out until late, you know, Monday afternoon. And I know, you know, that can't be a great experience for new players. I'm sure your customer service gets inundated every week with people wondering, where's my money? What's that issue? And do you guys think you're going to be able to rectify it soon?
Yeah. So, that's one of the areas where scaling has been an issue. Like our original settlement algorithm is probably like 5 years old. And if you can imagine, it was originally written for head-to-head tournaments, and then we scaled it for 5 and 10 player tables. And now we're settling, you know, 137,000 player tables. So it's something that we're currently re-platforming. But at the same time, we're actually streamlining and improving the current one. So it should be a lot better today than it was sort of 3 or 4 weeks ago, but it's significantly slower than it should be. I think we're kind of seeing it through this season, you know, making tweaks here and there, making it a bit faster. It'll probably be before the end of the next season where we see it, you know, running through in 30 minutes, which is really what it should be doing.
We're joined by Nigel Eccles, CEO of FanDuel.com. A few more things before we let you go, Nigel. People are always curious about, you know, future improvements. What's kind of in the queue for you guys? What might we see here? You know, you don't have to give me a definitive timeline, but, you know, what's kind of next on the agenda to be fixed up?
Trying to think. So, you know, a lot of work the users don't see, to be honest, which is kind of dull. But as rapid speed, and actually, we just released some things recently around the draft screen that, you know, you should see sort of improvements and sort of speeding up there. We also just released on the iPhone the ability to enter head to head, see player information. So that's one thing you'll see. Interestingly, one of the comments we get a lot is, can we read the design from the iPhone app back onto the web app? And absolutely. That's something, whenever we designed the iPhone app, we decided, say, let's not just say copy the existing product. Let's just start afresh and say, what would it look like if we wanted to design a, you know, take a step ahead, and that's why the iPhone app looks as it is and why it's so good. But it does mean that people who go to it and then immediately come back to the web product and go, well, I really love the way the iPhone app does this and this. And so I think that's one thing you'll see in the web product, is it becoming more in line with the iPhone app. At the same time, we'll continue to push for the iPhone app.
Yeah, you know, it's weird that I kind of follow the games on my cell phone and, you know, enter the teams on the computer.
Yes.
Because your live scoring, I mean, that is something that it's a real painful experience sometimes to have to go through.
Yeah.
So I was going to prioritize something, I would put that on the list.
So live scoring on the web product and also lineup management, again, is something that's high up the list. In fact, very high up the list.
Okay, I want to talk lastly here about an issue that is pertinent to your NBA product, and there's been a lot of chatter about it, especially within a lot of people in our community. And one problem we're kind of seeing with the NBA is an inability to get a whole lot of variety in head-to-head and three-man games over that $109 buy-in, as Team Condia basically has been vulturing any and all games that are posted. Have you and the team had discussions about this kind of lobbying bullying? It's kind of what I've been calling it. And are there measures being considered to curb this moving forward? Because honestly, it seems to really only be benefiting these two guys, and it's detrimental, I think, in maybe the overall ecosystem, people trying to move up stakes. So take me through that, because I know it's a hot button issue within the Roto Grinders community.
Yeah. You know, NBA of all the sports has always had this issue. We go back maybe 4 years, and we had Ruzia and
Umzi,
who kind of, you know, exactly the same. And gosh, we must have been, you know, 1/50th of the size that we are today. And you know, part of me used to think, hey, this will get better with scale, and I don't think it's, to some extent maybe it has a bit, but not as much as I thought it would. It was about a year ago, just under a year ago, that we then decided to take certain actions, which is limiting the total number of entries by sport. And so that was provoked by a piece of analysis we did where we saw that there was definitely negative on the ecosystem. We're doing that. We're continuing to do that now. I can't say there's anything immediately pending, but I do know the team looks at it very closely. And you know, if they decide that it's damaging to the ecosystem, they will make a decision that may look, you know, short term negative on revenue, but you know, long term, you know, good for the ecosystem. So that's what we did a year ago, and we would do that again if we were of the, you know, came to the conclusion it was negative in the ecosystem.
Yeah, I certainly hope you guys definitely put some thought into it, because it is really frustrating to kind of get to that point and only see a certain couple guys out there able to kind of, you know, play at that level and never get any diversity in it. And I know you've kind of been been against the whole kind of matchup blocker concept. And, you know, I understand your thinking on that.
Yeah, but I guess one of on the matchup blocker, you know, the challenge we have a matchup blocker, and people seem to describe it as a panacea, you know, the percentage of our entries that are taken from the lobby is less than like 10% of entries. And so, you know, yes, we could roll out matchup blocker, but it doesn't necessarily solve the problem. And so that's why we are trying to find, and entry cap was a limiting method that affected all types of tournaments. And so I think if we come up with a solution, it'll be more, you know, it'll be look at all tournament types and not just sort of, you know, one tournament type that really have a solution for 10% of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that we're, as long as you guys realize there is a problem potentially there, hopefully we can get that resolved for some of the people who I know would love to kind of move up the stakes a little bit more. But Nigel, always appreciate you being so candid with us here at Roto Grinders, everything from the AMAs to, you know, jumping on the podcast a couple days after this really monumental announcement. And congrats on that. Congrats on the phenomenal football season. Good luck moving forward. And believe it or not, you know, what is it? Like a few weeks away, a month away, you're going to be handing out $2 million check? It's crazy.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Forgetting about the you know, the biggest payout in the history of daily fantasy sports. That's the kind of world we're in. Things are moving as fast, faster than any of us could probably ever expect. Nigel, thank you so much again for your time, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks again to Nigel for jumping on the show with us, kind of talking all about that exciting announcement. Huge weekend in the industry here again, folks. Stuff all over the place. Let's quickly kind of go through it real quick on FanDuel. Of course, they've got their FFFC qualifiers this week. Running out of time to get into that FFFC, so the buy-in price points as low as $2. You could turn into $2 million. Also have their $2.5 million Sunday Million Tournament, and of course, tons of college football action as well. Over on Fantasy Aces, last weekend for them for their live final, FAFC, Fantasy Aces Football Championship. It is a salary pro concept. Those are really fun, so definitely join that if you want to go to Newport Beach, compete for their first place prize. DraftKings has a lot of great stuff going this weekend as well. They actually are running a $100,000 free roll. That's right. People love free rolls still, so why not play? It's $100,000 they are basically giving away to people on their site. Doesn't cost a single nickel to enter, so should take them up on that offer for sure. On top of that, King of the Beach qualifiers, I believe they've got four of them this week, and I believe only a couple more weeks to qualify for that live final down in Atlantis. First place wins $1 million over there on DraftKings. So that's kind of what's going on this weekend. We've got a great promo with Victiv as well. Second week in a row that we are running that. Again, always sign up through our links here on RotoGrinders so you can get access to these awesome promotions that we have. If you ever see a site and you're like, I don't really see them there, do me a favor, email support, and they'll let you know if they, we've got a link for you to sign up through. That's always one of those things that, you know, people sign up early and they're like, I can't participate in the promo. Well, just wait. That's what we try and, you know, that's how we're able to give you these amazing promotions that we do. So that's the best advice I can give you, but you can check that out. That is a pinned post in the forum. Again, another nice free roll for people who have signed up to Victiv through the Roto Grinders links. And that's going to do it for me. Always appreciate you guys listening. We will join you Saturday night, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. Myself, Beer Makers fan, going to have good old Evan Silva of Roto World. He's going to jump on for a segment with us on Saturday, so that's fun. And always taking your calls, talking daily fantasy sports Saturday night, making those lineups for Sunday. And, of course, Grinders Live today all weekend long. I mean, we're just loading you up with great content up until tip-off, helping you win your games, provided by some of the industry's very best players. So till Monday, have yourself a tremendous weekend, and we will see you.